E.K. Amery, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, New Orleans attack. I'm Brian Clark. Federal investigators are seeking more information about the man who drove a pickup truck down Bourbon Street early Wednesday in New Orleans, killing 15 people, injuring over two dozen others. Zion Parsons lost his cousin. He was at the scene.
A truck hits the corner and comes barreling through people, throwing people like a movie scene, like real life, throwing people into the air. They falling under the car.
The man at the wheel of the truck identified as Shamsuddin Jabbar, an Army citizen who lived in an Army veteran who lived in Texas. President Biden said
the FBI also reported to me that mere hours before the attack, he posted videos on social media indicating that he was inspired by ISIS, expressing a desire to kill. The ISIS flag was found in his vehicle.
This is ABC News. President-elect Donald Trump's plans for deportations after he takes office could threaten a key military base, as ABC's Connor Finnegan explains.
The U.S. military's only base in Central America, key to regional security and humanitarian aid, could now be in jeopardy. Honduran President Xiomara Castro called for constructive and friendly dialogue with the incoming Trump administration in a New Year's address. But she warned that Trump's mass deportations would undercut relations, calling them hostile and unnecessary. Connor Finnegan, ABC News, and Sonora, Mexico.
America's second highest civilian award is going to two members of the January 6th committee. President Biden set to bestow the Presidential Citizens Medal on Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney, lawmakers who led their committee. Donald Trump has said they should be jailed. 18 more people will also be honored at today's ceremony, including longtime gun safety advocate and former congresswoman from New York, Carolyn McCarthy. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
The Packers lose their top defensive back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Cornerback Jaire Alexander suffered a knee injury back in October against the Jaguars. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked if there were any updates.
Yeah, I would expect Ja, most likely he's going to be done for the rest of the year.
Is that injury related?
Yes.
So you have the surgery?
Yes.
Alexander had his right knee scoped on Tuesday. A report says he could be back by mid-February if the Packers are in the Super Bowl. I asked safety Xavier McKinney what it's been like watching Jaire struggling to come back.
It's been tough. You know, he's dealt with, you know, this injury pretty much all year. Obviously, we wanted him to be back out there, but, you know, injuries are part of the game, so we understand that. We know that he's been working, you know, or he was working to, you know, try to get back, but it's like every time he was trying to, he would tweak it again, so it's a part of the game.
NBA, the Bucks in action tonight in Milwaukee. They host the Brooklyn Nets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Former President Jimmy Carter passed away this past weekend at the age of 100. Many remember Carter for his decency, endless service to humankind, which included his involvement with Habitat for Humanity. But what most people don't know is that he was also related to Motown Records founder Berry Gordy. Gordy said that in 1978, his sister Esther did some digging into their family tree. Gordy says he was filled with shock and pride when he found out that he and Carter were actually third cousins. There's as much drama off-screen surrounding actress Blake Lively and actor-director Justin Baldoni as there was on-screen for their film It Ends With Us. Following Lively's lawsuit claiming Baldoni sexually assaulted her and launched a smear campaign against her, Baldoni is filing a countersuit, claiming Lively and her team launched a smear campaign against him. Does anything good ever come from a Hollywood smear campaign? Oh yeah, publicity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Twin Cities weather, mostly cloudy this morning. We'll see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. High today of 19 in the Twin Cities. Tonight, partly cloudy, 6 above. Tomorrow, sunshine, 13. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 11. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 13.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, January 2nd, 2025. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, or by podcast, or watching us on social media. We appreciate you starting your day with us right here. I got a question for you. How jealous are you of all the people who are still off for two more days? How weird was this to have the holidays smack dab in the middle of the week, Christmas Day on a Wednesday, New Year's Day on a Wednesday, and what we typically do at Courier Newsroom, the parent company for Up North News, is we take that full week off from Christmas Day to New Year's Day. And I did the same this year and was on grandpa duty, as Kristen and Greg mentioned, Monday and Tuesday here. And it was wonderful, but it was kind of weird working Monday, Tuesday last week and Thursday, Friday this week. And some folks still get the rest of this week off, so lucky them. The whole world gets back into it starting Monday, January 6th. And that will be some of what we're talking about today. The Wisconsin legislature will be back in session starting next Monday. And so we'll talk to Up North News political correspondent Elizabeth Montemaro a bit about that and what where did we leave off in Madison before the Republican leadership in the legislature gave themselves a nine-month paid vacation, you know, that you paid for. So we'll talk to Elizabeth about that. We're going to talk about two former legislators who passed away a few days back, Tim Cullen and George Petak. And we're going to lump them in with former President Jimmy Carter, who also passed away, and talk about how there is still room in this world for some humility and for some people who can rise above partisanship to make things happen without compromising their core values. So we'll get a little bit into that this hour. And of course, we're also happy to take your calls and your texts as well at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also text us or call us through the Civic Media app. And if you still don't have that on your phone, or if you got yourself a brand new phone, make that part of your New Year's resolution to get that Civic Media app downloaded. And of course, if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, you could put up a comment about that, like Tony did, that we're going to share in just a moment after I tell you that the temperatures at 6 a.m. look like this around Wisconsin. It is 17 here in Chippewa Falls. It's 11 in Hayward. Amory's at 12. Wausau 15. La Crosse is at 16 right now. Wisconsin Rapids 13. Green Bay 20. Madison 20. It's a 19 in Waukesha, and it's a sultry 24 degrees in Radio Park in Racine. where we find the I guess according to Tony on YouTube's comment, the host of this program, saying, I thought this was the Bach and the Doc time slot. Well, Pat's good too, I suppose. All right, I'll take that. Greg Bach of the aforementioned Bach and the Doc joins us now.
I don't know this Bach and the Doc you're talking about. Is this like a dream world you're talking about? Like a was it like the end of St. Elsewhere? Yep. It was all in the mind of a child. What a reference, folks. What a reference.
It might have been. Yeah, that's a nice callback.
Thank you.
How'd it go, you and Kristen, Monday, Tuesday?
It went well. We had a really good time. I got to meet Abe Lyerly, which was cool.
One of Kristen's 17 sons. She's got a lot of boys. I lose track of how many, but yeah, Abe, one of them. Great.
We had a good time. We had good talks. We covered some cool things, and it was fun. Thank you for the opportunity.
I see you sitting here, so you didn't get in too much trouble.
No, you didn't get into too much trouble. We missed you. Like,
and I'm still
pants.
Sitting here, so apparently Kristen didn't get the call and say, yeah, why don't you stick around on Thursday as well? They allowed me back in, I guess.
That's right. Your key card still works.
Yep. I turned on the computer and there you are. So it worked out just fine. How was your holiday break?
If I'm going to be totally honest, the Christmas portion of the break was quite stressful for me personally. But, you know, nothing that didn't keep me from having a good meal surrounded by good people who are very generous. But yeah, it was just a little, some dog drama and then just scheduling drama. But that's like the least of worries in life. Just we learn from them and then we move on for next Christmas. And New Year's was work. That was work at the club. And I got home at like 2 a.m. and I fell into bed and I slept in yesterday, which was wonderful.
Well, that's great.
How about you?
Well, let's see. Yeah, we have to go way back because we're doing when we left here. When we last left, the Tales of Pat. It was Christmas Eve, and I left shortly after the radio show for Sherry's parents from their dairy farm over in Manitowoc County. And we had a lovely day and a half there doing Christmas with her side of things. We actually then left. We weren't going to leave until the day after Christmas, but folks might recall that there was some freezing rain possible late on Christmas Eve, and Sherry's parents were kind of like, shouldn't you be going? in a nice way that cared for our safety when we all looked at the forecast and we were like, yeah, you're probably right. So we actually got a hotel in Chicago halfway between Manitowoc and Kalamazoo. And got things going. But then, like I said, 7 days of grandpa duty because my daughter and son-in-law, they had to work regular hours all throughout the past week here, you know, because they're both in jobs that require all that. And so we got to have fun with the 2-year-old and the 5-year-old. And that was a blast.
Nice.
You know, except for the times when it wasn't. You know, it's called Terrible Twos for a reason.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they turn right around and... I mean, I've had a lot of titles in my life, but when you hear that little 2-year-old, that little blonde girl go, Grandpa,
oh, God.
I mean, just melt. Now, never mind that it's Grandpa and she needs her butt wiped, but apart from that, it's the whole that she's calling out to you and saying, I need you.
You stand up and go, I shall wipe your butt.
You betcha.
That happened with my nephew. He's 3 years old, and I'm like, who am I? And he looked at me and goes, I don't remember. And I go, well, I'm your Uncle Greg. And he goes, and then he comes back and goes, Graga. I'm like, that's my name now. That's what you are calling me.
Graga.
Forever.
I love it. All right. Well, that's not going to stick at all, is it? No, it was really nice. Now, New Year's Eve, we were there. That was our last night in Kalamazoo. Told our daughter and son-in-law, go out, go have fun. And they described their attempt to go bar hopping, but God bless them. They're now at that age where they went to one place, then another place, then another place. And in each instance went, that's too crowded. Let's try this. Let's go home.
Yeah.
They come on, because you've already paid for the liquor that's there, you know, and you can watch TV. And it's not like back in my day when your only option was Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians, playing, ballroom music,
from the Waldorf Astoria.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to watch now. But did you see in Times Square how it was well, you were working, but I mean, just practically a thunderstorm. I mean, these people stood out there for hours and hours in the cold rain.
No.
That has no appeal to me, Graga. It has none whatsoever.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, Grandpa, that even if somehow they managed to rearrange the movement of the sun and New Year's Eve night was daytime, warm and sunny, with free sodas and cocktails and whatnot, I still wouldn't go. I mean, and so your daughter learned a valuable lesson this year. Next year, they're going to opt right away for pajamas,
yep,
sitting on the couch and being asleep by 11:15.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've mentioned a few times that the two-year-old just is all in such a frozen mode.
Yeah.
And, you know, she got so many frozen-related toys for Christmas. And Grandma and Grandpa, we went old school on her. And instead of putting on Frozen for the 400th time, we put on what her mom watched a million times, The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Now, at first, there was a little pushback, you know, because what is this? By the end of it, the rest of the day, she was like, I'm Little Mermaid. She was digging it. So,
and your daughter, was like, thanks.
I got to get a whole new bunch of toys now. Yeah. No. No, it's good to shake things up. So
yeah.
that was a lot of fun for them. So, no, all in all, a good break, but I'm ready to be home for a while. Oh, wait. No, I'm not, because I haven't done Christmas for my extended family yet, and that's happening this weekend. So there's still a little bit more fa-la-la-lotting to do.
It's funny when you have to do it like a week or two after. You're like, all right, let's just pretend like the tree is up. Let's pretend. Yeah, this is totally eggnog right now.
Yep. And then what Alicia writes in on YouTube here, I was asleep before 10 on New Year's Eve.
That's glorious.
It usually is. We were actually staying up a little later. We were watching, there's, you know, Times Square, and there's the thing in Nashville and other things. And we get the text from our daughter saying, you know, the bars are crowded. We're just going to come home with friends. And because they were out with another couple.
Yeah.
And we were just like, perfect. Boom. We were in bed within 5 minutes because we didn't want them to see us in our pajamas, you know, watching TV on their couch. So yeah. We're like, yep, we're putting ourselves to bed. We got it. So, but then half hour later, so we wake up to people shooting off fireworks.
Ugh.
And I don't get that, Greg. I don't get fireworks being a thing at midnight on New Year's Eve.
I don't know.
And on a summer night when you're outside and can take it in, great. But I don't get it. And of course, it woke up the two-year-old. And so we were really happy about that for a minute or two. But then it settled back down.
I just don't understand really the fireworks now pretty much anyways, like the overdoing it of it. And we had them yesterday during the day. Yesterday, Maybell was going crazy because people were shooting up fireworks in the mid of the midday. I'm like, yeah, cool. Awesome. That's what we're doing right now. Excellent. Well,
and even as I watch it around the world on New Year's Eve, you see them in Sydney and in Tokyo and then, you know, in London. And the fireworks, I mean, they're beautiful, but at some point it's overkill.
Yes.
And you go, man, I loved this, but I really loved it 6 seconds ago.
Yep.
And but people are like, well, we've committed. We're in. We're going to keep doing this because, you know, you made that long drive. You may as well see a big show. No, I'm really good. You know, you don't have to try to blow up the city or anything like that, you know?
No, let's just relax and have some fun and go home.
You're right, and that's exactly what we did here. So glad everybody made it safely through it all. I've got this one quick note for you, Greg, from Alicia.
Oh.
I finally started watching The Diplomat. Thank you for the recommendation, Greg.
Yeah.
So there we go. There was TV to be watched as well.
So
we'll
TV.
Talk about that and more coming up wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning in the year 2025. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Yesterday, we reported on attempts by anti-voter legislators in Arizona to make it harder to get citizen ballot initiatives on the ballot and a higher threshold to pass one. Another suppression tactic by opponents? Slap signature canvassers with a subpoena. Recruiting and training a legion of canvassers to put a measure on the ballot is already an expensive proposition. As we noted yesterday, should the Arizona Distribution Requirement for Initiatives Amendment pass in November, signatures would be required from all 30 legislative districts in Arizona, meaning more volunteers and more expense. Bolts Magazine reports on another tactic: take the ballot question organizers to court. Opponents hope that by challenging the question's text, signature collection methods, and eligibility of canvassers, it can either invalidate signatures or make it financially unfeasible to continue. A recent Arizona law allows opponents to subpoena canvassers to defend their petitions, and if they don't appear, the signatures can be tossed out. Bolts Magazine chronicles a 2018 climate ballot question that had 1,400 canvassers subpoenaed, and organizers spent $1.3 million transporting and housing canvassers, most of whom never even testified. Expect more such tactics as anti-voter legislators try to keep power out of the hands of citizens. We've linked the Bolts Magazine article at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think.
I was gonna start it from the beginning, you know, in the year 2525, now that we're in 2025, and then I forgot until I started it. The song starts really slow. Not worth. So we'll start off in the year 3535 that we play here in 2025 on this Thursday, January 2nd, back on Up North News Radio. Greg Bach and Racine at Radio Park, Pat Kreitlow up here in Chippewa Falls. My wife said something that so perfectly encapsulates the sports world right now, as you know, the highlights are playing from last night's college football games. College football playoffs. Something that means absolutely nothing to me. Does not register in my life at all.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree more. It's just like, yep, you kids go do your thing, you know. But this is the part where we talk sports. So
sorry, everybody.
Anyway. Oh, stop it. There's one or two people that want to hear that, you know. Look, people were looking at Oregon going, look, they're the only unbeaten team. They're the number one seed in the college football playoff, and yet it never felt real to a lot of other fans who look at, you know, teams in the Big Ten and others. And sure enough, Ohio State put an end to that nonsense, basically just stomping over Oregon 41-21 yesterday.
Dang.
in the Rose Bowl. The Peach Bowl was apparently much more exciting, went into overtime, and Texas upended number 4 Arizona State 39-31. And then in the New Year's Eve game, Penn State defeated Boise State. And then the fourth and final of the quarterfinal games will be the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans this afternoon between second-ranked Georgia and Notre Dame, being delayed after the attack early Wednesday on Bourbon Street, which was, again, just a terrible tragedy. I do want to, as always, try to avoid too much, you know, speculation on these things, especially after you saw the cyber truck explosion, you know, in front of a Trump casino.
Yeah.
Law enforcement's got to be able to do their job. So the one thing I'm going to say about it, and it sounds a little off topic, but having been to Bourbon Street, I want to talk about these those traffic posts.
Yeah,
they're called bollards, you know, and some of them are like retractable, even, you know, that you can have them come up and down. There's like YouTube accounts and TikTok accounts just dedicated to proving how effective these things are. Like if you accidentally come a little too close, it's going to destroy your car, you know. And I don't like that we live in an era where we always have to think about precautions. But if I'm the people around Bourbon Street, and apparently there was a bollards project in progress at, you know, before this had happened. And I just think we need to expedite that all the more in all these places. I know when I first started seeing them in front of, like, you know, you'd go to Target and they're in front of the doors there and you're going, is this really necessary? And as the years go on, you're like, Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, this is where we live now.
It's better when it's preventative too, versus mm-hmm. when we have to do that kind of thing. And if you've never been on Bourbon Street, mm-hmm. it's tiny.
It is.
Tiny yes. little streets, like very, mm-hmm. very tight fits. Yeah.
And I, frankly, again, as somebody who would love to see more, you know, pedestrian areas that, you know, that maybe they were streets for a while. Maybe they can be streets part of the time if they're retractable. Mm-hmm. But the same goes for, what's the main drag in Nashville?
Broadway.
Yeah. You know, you just need more of that. Yeah. So that pedestrians don't have to worry about incidents like this. You know, the more we can reduce the necessity of worrying about those kinds of attacks, the better. So we wish all the best to folks recovering from their injuries. Our condolences to the lost in New Orleans. And again, that the delayed football game will be played this afternoon. Found out that the Brewers, while we were on a break, I can think of Ross from Friends. We were on a break! While we were on a break, the Brewers decided that they're going to stay put TV-wise.
Yeah.
What we knew as Bally's is now the FanDuel Network.
That really bothers me.
You can't have enough betting in sports, said the guy who remembers a time when you couldn't bet a penny on sports.
Don't you feel like now is the time? You're like, all right, Pete Rose, come on in. Come on, you Hall of Fame. It's fine. Oh, yeah. Everyone's betting now. It's on our logo. It's on our jersey. It's fine. Go for it.
Yes. Yeah. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
So if we're going there, we're going to go there, and so that's where the Brewers are. You won't have to get Apple TV if you don't already have it or some other streaming deal. Apparently, people are really not happy with the app. Apparently, it cuts out a lot while streaming, so hopefully, you know, the nerds at Bally's, now FanDuel, are working on that. But from a TV standpoint, you know where to go.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Packers, while it was away, that didn't work out so well going up against the Minnesota Vikings. The Packers are 11-1. Or I'm sorry, 11-5.
Yeah.
But 0-5 against the top three teams in the NFC, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Eagles. And look, between those three teams, they've got a 40-7 record. And four of our five losses came by a total of 12 points. But again, much like horseshoes and hand grenades, you know, that the close is just not close enough. And that's why when we play the Bears on Sunday to wrap up the regular season at Lambeau Field, it's a noon game. Remember, for 4 weeks in a row, I was like, oh, we've got all these primetime games because we're so popular.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back to Sunday noon now. It's the Vikings and Lions will get all the attention Sunday night, not only for the NFC North, but for the number one seed in the NFC as well.
So I'll just say this. Stake. I'll just say this, though, Pat. At least we're not the, 4-12 Jets. So just.
Yep.
I'm petty.
No. It's all good. It's all good. A lot of people laughing along with us. But as for that Sunday noon game against the Bears, you can catch it on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, and WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. The Milwaukee Bucks, they host the Brooklyn Nets tonight, and the Portland Trail Blazers on Saturday. The Badger men's basketball team comes back from their break tomorrow. They'll be playing at the Kohl Center versus Iowa. Let's see. I want to get the game time right on that, because I know that we have that across Civic Media. Excuse me. 5:00 broadcast start Friday on stations including WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and stations in Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center as well. Let's see. Tonight there is Badger hockey, Wisconsin versus Michigan State. 5 p.m. broadcast start on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Then there's the women's hockey. They host Ohio State today. And then they'll play Ohio State again 2 days from now, but outside at Wrigley Field in Chicago. That game will be the only women's hockey game in what's called the Frozen Confines Tournament, along with three men's hockey games, including the Badger men versus Michigan State, which will also be coming up this Saturday. The 8th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team had no problem beating Providence on New Year's Eve, and the Marquette women will host UConn. Back with more after this.
You're up. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
What will commodity prices look like early into the new year? I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Ben Brown, a University of Missouri Extension ag economist, says he's not especially bullish on soybeans.
So I think in the short run, and by short run here, I mean the next couple of months, I'm not overly bullish the soybean market. Are there things that could change that would create a bullish spark, maybe lead us a little bit higher? Absolutely. There always is those opportunities out there. But at least at the current point, over the next couple of months, I'm not really bullish the soybean market. And in fact, I'm more bearish and further deterioration. One of the things I have been talking about is if things play out the way that I think they do, the price signals heading into planting are going to certainly incentivize corn acres. And maybe that's the case here this spring. But then when we get around to the fall, if we do have fewer soybean acres due to that, or corn bids some of the acres over to the soybeans, corn creates the incentive to where it takes soybean acres and turns them into corn acres. You know, that creates opportunities for maybe a little bit more of a bullish price pressure in the soybean market later in the calendar year.
That's Ben Brown with the University of Missouri along with us. I'll have more news right after this.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. Joshua Gonzalez, a second grade teacher and agriculture committee chairman at River Trail School of Agricultural Science in Milwaukee Public Schools, has been named the 2024 Wisconsin Outstanding Teacher by the Wisconsin Agriculture in the Classroom program. Gonzalez's passion for agricultural literacy stems from personal experience and a vision to transform urban education. Reflecting on the pandemic's impact on food access, Gonzalez recalled his grandparents' backyard fruit trees in Puerto Rico, where neighbors shared harvests to support one another. Inspired by this memory, he now equips students to address food deserts and build sustainable, healthy communities through urban agriculture. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Twin Cities weather, mostly cloudy this morning. We'll see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. High today of 19 in the Twin Cities. Tonight, partly cloudy, 6 above. Tomorrow, sunshine, 13. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 11. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside right now, it's 12.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show.
free to get ready now. Go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe.
Welcome back. This is Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning, January 2nd, 2025. I'm going to say it a little bit more than I normally would because I want to make sure I get to saying 2025 the way I'm supposed to be. Carl Perkins released Blue Suede Shoes this week in history, and we bring our regular history lesson to you every morning, every weekday morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Just trying to figure out what year did that happen? With Carl Perkins, and I don't have it in front of me. So I'll have it in time for a history lesson coming up in a bit. I was mentioning the Marquette women's basketball team when I ran out of time there because I forgot how to tell time while I was on a break, apparently. And the Marquette women lost last night to 7th-ranked UConn, 77-45. Tomorrow we're going to have a very busy program to tell you about here. We're going to have State Senator Diane Hesselmein, the Senate Democratic leader, and she too will talk about the new session of the Wisconsin legislature that will be convening on Monday. And then we'll also talk to Jim Santel, and we'll talk to Jim a little earlier than normal because we're going to have Diane Hesselmein on at 7:05 tomorrow. So Jim Santel is going to join us at 6:30 on Friday morning tomorrow. And at this time tomorrow, he will be talking about his internship in the Jimmy Carter White House back in 1980. So you'll want to hear more about that, what Jim Santel has to say to us at a special time. John Shelton, president of the Faculty and Student Union at UW-Green Bay. And he's written for The Nation magazine about the post-election emphasis between, should we be talking, you know, for Democrats looking at the trend of recent elections, should we be talking about the message or should we be talking about the medium? And it gets into that whole, you know, the medium is the message. It's something we've been trying to make that point for years here about the need for a progressive media infrastructure. An ecosystem. You don't just need a winning message one time. You don't need a winning slogan one time. You need something day after day, year after year. And that's the point that John Shelton's been making, and we'll talk more about that on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we will have Congressman Mark Pocan in to visit with us. The new session of Congress begins tomorrow, allegedly. And we'll talk to Mark Pocan about the new session begins tomorrow. If they can elect a speaker, you know, goodness only knows. Carl Perkins, Blue Suede Shoes, appears we have a battle here. Roger writes on Facebook, 1956. Greg sends me a note here that says 1955, and we may never know because I lost my history note.
It was recorded in December of 55, released in January of 56.
It was, guess what? I just found it. Carl Perkins released Blue Suede Shoes on January 1st, 1956. Good thing we can edit all this out before the show airs.
Absolutely. This is all not live whatsoever.
Nope. It'll be just fine. So I'm glad we were able to put that whole controversy to bed. Before I get to the passing of Jimmy Carter and Tim Cullen and George Petak, I want to note two other notable passings in the news from the media world. Greg Gumbel passed away, former longtime sports broadcaster, and former CNN anchor Aaron Brown. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Greg Gumbel was 78 and Aaron Brown was 76, which raises this question. How did that happen? Because it seems like we were all a lot younger, just not that terribly long ago. Aaron Brown was, in my mind, just such a breath of fresh air as a news anchor at CNN. His very first day on the job was September 11th, 2001. Heck of a first day at a new job, but he handled the day with such professionalism and grace, and I have always, always appreciated a more conversational style from news anchors, and Aaron Brown was the personification of that. And so His anchoring is greatly missed over at that once fine news network. And Greg Gumbel, again, handled things with such great manner. And he knew his stuff, and yet he never took himself too seriously. So, yeah, Greg Gumbel at 78, Aaron Brown at 76. We wish them rest in peace and thank them for all they did. But now we turn to former President Jimmy Carter, who passed away at the age of 100. And also the passings of two noteworthy Wisconsin legislators, former state senators. And, you know, I can be accused of having a bias here, being a former state senator myself, though I did not serve with either one of these gentlemen. But Tim Cullen and George Petak, in their own ways, were people that I am quite certain former President Jimmy Carter would feel a certain kinship about them. In all three cases, you had men, Petak, a Republican, Cullen and Carter, a Democrat, who were very proud of their values, very steadfast in why they belonged to the political party of their choosing, but understood that governing is not the same as politics, and that governing is a public service. And that sometimes, not always, but sometimes, that involves the potential to make compromises that can be a win-win and allow good things to happen. In the case of Tim Cullen, he was somebody who tried to compromise with then-Governor Scott Walker during the demonstrations over what became Act 10, when he and his other state Senate Democratic colleagues left and cross state lines into Illinois to try to delay a vote on what would become Act 10. And Tim Cullen was seen as somebody who could maybe talk to the folks in the Walker administration, to the governor himself. But as Tim Cullen said he learned, he'd had a conversation, a phone call with Scott Walker at one point while he and the other Senate Democrats were in Illinois. And he thought it was odd that it was the call didn't have any substance. It was almost like just a check-in call. And then shortly after that, you had the then state Senate Democratic leader sending a letter to Scott Walker saying, well, why don't we try to, compromise? Why don't we try to negotiate on this? And as Cullen noted, Scott Walker said, well, no, I'm already talking to Tim Cullen. And so people were upset with Tim Cullen because they thought that he was trying to undermine his own Senate Democratic leadership from Mark Miller and others, when it was completely the opposite. It was Scott Walker using his so-called divide and conquer strategy, to try to make Democrats appear to be divided. And so now Tim Cullen also called out some Democrats and union leaders for some of their unwillingness to compromise. But the fact that Tim Cullen was willing to play that role speaks volumes about the kind of leader that he was as a legislator. Now to George Petak. He cast a vote first against a new tax for building what would become Miller Park, now American Family Field. And he voted a second time against it. But it came back up a third time. And then Governor Tommy Thompson kept the legislature up all night and was bringing in people one by one to try to twist their arms, to tell them how good this would be for the economic development of Southeast Wisconsin, keep the brewers in Wisconsin, and everything like that. And people were not budging. George Petak budged and changed his vote and said that he was convinced that this would be the right way forward for Southeast Wisconsin. And he became the first Wisconsin legislator to be recalled from office. Enough people signed a petition, held an election, kicked him out. Now, I would be fine with that if every person who signed that petition and if every person who voted against George Petak were never allowed to buy a ticket to go to Miller Park or American Family Field. And yet, there were people that were willing to be so angry at George Petak about, the pennies worth of sales taxes that they were being asked to pay, that they'd recall him from office, but still have no problem enjoying the amenities that came as a result of his sacrifice. If it were up to me, there would be a statue of George Petak outside that stadium. But of course, in this day and age, it would be defaced or, you know, otherwise defamed, denigrated, what have you. But he deserves whatever honor came his way in his life and now with his passing for being someone that could look at an issue, be willing to change your mind on something if you think it's going to lead to the greater good for your constituents at large. And George Petak was willing to do that. Now, all of this, I'm sure that Senators Cullen and Petak would acknowledge, pales in comparison to what former President Jimmy Carter gave this country. And Jimmy Carter, like Joe Biden, will be remembered for the first few years after their time in office as one-term Democratic presidents who left when they were fairly unpopular. But then history will look back at the record. And the record will show from both men a lifetime of service that culminated in good works that were not necessarily designed to pay off to get them reelected, not necessarily designed to pay off during their presidency, not necessarily designed to be paid off in their lifetimes, but would show benefits years and generations later. That's something that Jimmy Carter had always done, from his service in the Navy during the war to his time as governor, his time as a preacher, as a peanut farmer, then as a global ambassador for peace. In this day and age, I still think that so much comes back to the election of 1980, whether you're talking from the standpoint of economics or if you're talking from the standpoint of morality. I mean, we had a man of faith and character on the ballot versus someone in Ronald Reagan who essentially preached the gospel of material wealth and resentment toward others. Reaganism is a model of capitalism that infects our country to this day. And it is predicated on Gordon Gekko's mantra that greed is good and on Milton Friedman's perversion of capitalism that corporations have a fiduciary duty to take care of their shareholders first, rather than to be good stewards for their workers and for their hometowns. Carter respected religion enough to insist that it not tread on the affairs of government. Reagan and Trump use religion as a cudgel, pandering to those who would turn government into a tool of their personal faith and dictate to others what they would decide would be free and what would be forbidden. Jimmy Carter understood the religion of government is not religion. It's honor. Its sacraments are service. The laity does not worship. The laity shows up on election day, having done its homework to be informed and service-minded to country and to one another. Jimmy Carter lamented that too many folks were willing to worship in self-indulgence and consumption. He tried to warn us that a fossil fuel-based economy was not good for the economy and that it was not good for the planet. And he set things in motion that helped benefit the rest of us, including Joe Biden, who through the Inflation Reduction Act has now given us generations of wealth that lies ahead of us in new jobs, and he has led this country to energy independence. Both Biden and Jimmy Carter were undone by inflation. Things that they did not create, but that they could not tame as a world economic condition. But when Jimmy Carter is laid to rest a week from today, the record will decidedly show the good works that Jimmy Carter did as a president, but more importantly, as a human being. We saw those as well in Tim Cullen and in George Petak. And we saw that in, you know, Greg Gumbel and Aaron Brown and others as well. And we are blessed every time that we are reminded that some of the heroes among us are not people who won every fight, but who always fought their battles with the rest of us in mind. We'll be back with today's history lesson after this. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Between all the holiday parties,
weekend tailgates,
and family get-togethers,
we've been overindulging a little more than usual over the holidays. But now, we are starting the new year off on a healthier note by taking active liver supplements from New Nordic every day.
Active Liver contains a powerful blend of turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract, all natural ingredients that help protect the liver so that it can protect you from toxins. It's like giving my body a daily detox. I've never felt better, and my energy is through the roof.
And my doctor is already impressed with how much better my numbers are looking. So if better health, more energy, and detoxing your body are some of your priorities this year, get Active Liver today and start the year off knowing you're giving your liver some well-deserved relief.
Active Liver is available in both tablets and as a delicious gummy. You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Trailer for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents, no phone, no pool, no pets.
And everybody sings.
Ain't got no cigarettes.
Roger Miller was born this day in 1936. I think there are enough young people that still hear this in some way or another and could tell you to sing.
Oh, yeah.
King of the Road, right there. Roger Miller passed away in 1992. Cuba Gooding Jr. is 57 years old today. Tay Diggs is 54. Dax Shepard is 51 years old today. On this day in 1966, the Green Bay Packers won their ninth NFL championship and the last one before the Super Bowl era began a year later. They defeated the Cleveland Browns 23-12. The game was the first NFL title game televised in color. Let's see. The Andrews Sisters released a tune on this day in 1941 designed to wake folks up.
It's like one of the most quintessential war songs ever.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He was a famous trumpet man from all Chicago way. 1941, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy was released. Let's see, back to the Rose Bowl. We talked about Oregon getting pantsed in the Rose Bowl yesterday. On this day in 2012, the Wisconsin Badgers were in the Rose Bowl. Oregon beat them in that game 45-38. On this day in 1971, George Harrison's first album after the breakup of the Beatles hit number one. The album was called All Things Must Pass, and it stayed atop the charts for 7 weeks because of singles like this.
He was a very hesitant songwriter in the Beatles because he always said, well, what do you do when you're in the band with McCartney and Lennon?
Right.
And he was allowed like one track per album. And he said that when he got to All Things Must Pass, he had over 300 songs written.
Yeah. He was ready to launch, as they say.
Yeah.
And did all right. It was on this day 2 years ago now that Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin collapsed in cardiac arrest and was revived by CPR on the field in a game against the Bengals in Cincinnati. The new number one song this day 50 years ago. I have to get used to saying that now. 50 years ago was 1975.
I mean,
The number one song 50 years ago today was by Elton John.
I gotta admit, I screwed up a little here.
Hold on. That's okay.
Let's try that one more technology. See, I wanted to have a perfect show today on the first show of the year, and
on the first day back from a break. Now I set the bar way lower on that one. I'm happy to be here and can be accused of just being screwed up and not sober. Put it that way.
Whoa!
So I'm looking back at charts, going, okay, so it's 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. So I've been looking. You're going to hear a lot of fives over the course of the year, so that I can say, are you ready to roll here?
I'm totally ready to roll here.
So I can say that 50 years ago today, the new number one song was by Elton John.
Seamless.
Seamless, just like we rehearsed it. Can you imagine if this show had a rehearsal? Man, would we be good. Let's go up 20 years. The new number one song 30 years ago today.
Oh.
God, 1995, 30 years ago. This can't be right. The math can't be mathing on this. No, the new number one song this day in 1995, 30 years ago today, was by Boyz II Men. So silky.
Just an all-time couple skate song.
Yes. And let's see, one more here from 2010. Kesha's first single hit number one on this day in 2010. It would be the number one song for 9 weeks and become the longest running number one song of 2010. I just recall my first grandson, Mason. He was three and a half, four years old at the time. And he doesn't know all the words, but I'm just hearing him go, tick tock, make it stop, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, where are you getting this from? And then I finally hear the song. I guess you're talking about brushing your teeth with Jack Daniels or something. And I'm like, how does a 3 year old know this song? But I also spent part of last week with the 2 year old and the 5 year old at a Chuck E. Cheese. I haven't been to a Chuck E. Cheese in about 30 years, and they play a lot of Kids Bop. It's called.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah. I'm aware. And
it's weird. It's just genuinely weird because the thinking behind Kids Bop is, okay, these are kids singing these songs.
Yeah.
So if the kids are singing them, you won't think about the lyrics and what they actually say because they're just having fun singing along to it. And I don't necessarily think that's the case. I heard some of it going, really? You're letting the kids sing that?
Well,
all right. Well, that's a choice.
I'll wager even worse is when they take a song that is inappropriate completely for a child to sing, when they change the lyrics to make it appropriate for a child, like they change the words, you're like, that's even worse.
Yeah.
That's worse. Let him sing the original.
Yep, eventually the kid's going to learn. This is National Science Fiction Day. This is National Swiss Cheese Day. This is National Cream Puff Day, which seems odd. That should happen during the Wisconsin State Fair.
Yeah.
This is National Introvert Day. Mm. This is National New Year's Day Substitute, which, okay, fine. And National Personal Trainer Day, which is a good reminder to all of us. Remember those promises you made yesterday? Well, it's day two. Keep it up. Go do your burpees.
I can't believe you didn't tell me, like, give me a heads up that it's national. Oh, darn it, the music's been. Never mind. I'm done for today.
Okay, back with hour two of Up North News Radio next on this.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
We'll be right back. the Badgers.
Seeds Max makes the three, takes the three. Left side, yes, sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips. Good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it. With the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk. Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, New Orleans Attack. I'm Brian Clark. Investigators are trying to determine what led a U.S. citizen and Army veteran to drive a rented pickup truck at high speed down Bourbon Street in New Orleans early New Year's Day. 15 people were killed before Shamsuddin Jabbar was shot dead by police. ABC's Christian Cordero has more from New Orleans.
Inside that Ford F-150, authorities say they found multiple homemade pipe bombs packed with nails. A fire at an Airbnb near Bourbon Street yesterday morning is now reportedly being linked to Jabbar. Officials say it appears explosive devices associated with the attack were made at the property.
An ISIS flag was also discovered in that pickup truck. An immediate question was how the truck was able to access Bourbon Street. Jim Maurer was there at the time.
There didn't appear to be a lot of heavy metal barricades or anything like that.
Officials have said that steel bollards on the street were unreliable and in the process of being replaced. This is ABC News.